As we get into this morning's teaching, let's turn to the side screens and take a look at this video.
They ain't gonna talk about my success. They're gonna talk about who Nick was and how Nick lived and how Nick loved and encouraged.
Success is incredibly important, but even more important than success, it's having an impact. It's knowing you haven't walked the planet in vain. It's knowing that because you've been here, you've blessed lives, you've developed people, and you have made the world a better place.
The effect you have on others is the most valuable currency there is. Everything you gain in life will rot and fall apart, and all that will be left of you is what was in your heart.
Life is a mirror, and life gives us not what we want. Life gives us who we are. When you were born, you cried while the world rejoiced. Live your life in such a way that when you die, the world cries while you rejoice.
Live your life in such a way that when you die, the world will cry, but you will rejoice, because we'll be close to seeing Jesus face to face. This morning, I want to talk to you about being helpful. Being helpful. We watch the video. It says, make an impact. That sounds so big. It sounds so grand. It sounds so, you've got to be somebody to make an impact. You've got to have a position to make an impact. I want to propose that that's not the case at all. That Jesus came into the world unknown, unrecognized. But what he came into the world to do was to serve. For the Son of Man did not come to the world to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And as Jesus lived his life as a servant, he made an impact that's now thousands of years old. We have the same Holy Spirit in our life. We're here to make an impact. We're here to be helpful. In our year of Love Does, and now we're talking about Love Does in the faith family, I want to talk to you this morning about being helpful, about serving, serving each other, and then ultimately serving the world. And go ahead and help me with the clicker, please. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, we have the verse that we have based our theme on. And who can remember Galatians 5, 6 from memory? I know it's in your outline. Don't look. I get that. Anybody, can you say it together? The what? Okay, I'm hearing Charlie Brown's mom right now. Wah, 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 wah. Let's see if we can get a cadence here. One, two, three. The only. Awesome. Most people got it. I heard a little bit of funniness out there, but most good. The only thing that counts is what? Is faith. What is our faith? Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and His gospel. That He is God. He died. He rose again. And He's coming back for us. That the faith of that gospel expressing itself in love. That's the truth. That's the only thing that matters. That there must be an expression of that. In this particular 4 weeks, we're turning to Galatians once again with this passage. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Would you read that with me? Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And this passage says, if you're going to express your faith in love, do it to everybody, but especially those who are among the family. Now, that doesn't mean exclude the others. We might think that. Well, it says especially. So I'm just going to love and do good to those that believe in Jesus like I do. That doesn't say that. It doesn't say exclude. It says that give effort everywhere, but make sure in your effort that the people in your faith family are taken care of. Why would that be? I think it's because Jesus said this, by your love one for another will all know that you're my disciples. That as we love each other, there is a very real gospel presentation as we care for each other as the community of faith. What does it mean to do good to everybody, especially the family of believers? Maybe there's some ideas that are running through your head. I know in one example, it was many years ago, but one Christmas time, we have five of us in our family. There are three kids, Sandra and I. One Christmas time, four out of the five were down sick. We were throwing up. It was a bad scene. It was just like a homeless shelter. We were laying all over the floor, blankets everywhere. And people came to our home. And people came and made us soup. They fixed things for us. One person came and cleaned the restrooms that weren't really nice because we were just, it was just not good. That's loved us. That's loving the family of believers. And I know many of you have stories. Some are much grander, full of much more sacrifice. Some of you have done some of those things. But it's being helpful one to another. So many of us only see each other on a Sunday morning. Some of you see each other on Sunday morning plus your group in common or plus your ministry opportunity here at the church. So in a real sense, there are limited opportunities if we just wait for them to come to us. But this scripture says, therefore, as you have opportunity, let us do good to all people, but especially the family of believers, that we need to make opportunity to care and to serve each other. Now in Ephesians, there's another verse that I want to read to you, which is a big part of today. And that is that there's a responsibility that I have as your pastor and the other staff has as your pastors and leaders. And that's that it's our job to help you understand this principle of helpfulness and to help equip you. Ephesians says this. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service. So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, becoming mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I'm teaching you this morning because God told me I have to. I'm supposed to prepare you for works of service. Now there's a huge amount of works of service. Today, the one work of service that I'm talking about is being helpful. Helping each other. Being good to each other, taking care of each other's needs, watching over one another's lives so that we can actually recognize when something's going on. It surprises me how many times someone will say, Pastor, did you know? And they'll talk about somebody having an issue in the church, and I didn't know. And I feel a bit bad. At the same time, I feel a bit good. Bad that I didn't know and wasn't there. Good that people in the congregation were taking care of the person. Because you've been equipped and you're learning what it means to take care of each other and to be with each other. We live in America. There really aren't a lot of things that we can't get help from other sources, whether it's social services or some kind of governmental program. But you know what? How much better would it be if the body of Christ took care of itself so that we wouldn't need those things? So that we wouldn't look for the next handout from a governmental source, but the people in our lives would be able to see you Christians take care of each other. And I want to be a part of that. What does that mean, maybe on a practical level? Well, we teach each other the Word of God. How do you know how to live unless you know the Word of God? We teach each other how to go out and share our faith and share the gospel, this faith that needs to express itself in love, to share that. Excuse me, to share that with each other. We teach each other to be patient. And I'm going to pause right here about patience because we talked a little bit about that last week. For those of you that have contemplated leaving the church as a result of going into the restrooms last week and finding the toilet paper was the wrong way in there, just be patient with each other, okay? I thought about having Darren switch it the other way, only to realize that if I did that, the other 50% would be mad. So if you're not chuckling right now, you weren't here last week. And so just watch the video on YouTube or on our website. But what about that? I made it a habit, not only here, but wherever I go, that whenever a restroom is messy, especially when there's water all over the sink and there's paper towels hanging, I just clean it up. And it was interesting to watch. It is interesting to watch now, as we've done that here at the church, how more and more of you are going, yeah, I do that too. And isn't it nice to walk into a restroom that's not full of puddles and you have to wait around? And it's just better. Helpful. Being the person who steps out. Being the person who maybe when you see that person pushing their car in the side of the road, you pull over and you get out and you help them push. Or maybe when you see that woman at the store fumbling with her basket because she has two kids and she's not quite sure how she's going to manage that, that you just come over and help her. I'm so thankful for a young lady that helped me over at Costco the other day. Remember I told you last week about finding the right amount of cheese for my wife? It was that day. Looking for the cheese. And I couldn't find the right cheese. And it was right after church. It was Easter. It was Easter Sunday. So I had my suit on. It was after a memorial service. So I had my suit on. And I'm trying to find the cheese. And I couldn't find it. And I asked a girl for help. And she didn't know where to look. And so she said, I'm sorry, I can't find it. So I walked from the back of the store all the way to the registers. And I hear this voice, sir, 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 sir. And everybody turned. It wasn't just me. Who knew who she was calling? And everybody turned. I turned. And she ran up to me. She said, I found your cheese. And I went, that's great. But how'd you find me? She goes, you're the only one in Costco with a suit. It was easy. And so she walks me back. And there it was. It was kind of the right cheese. I said, well, okay, I'll try that. But I was really looking for this other thing. And so she walked away. And she came back again. Second time. Hey, I found the one you wanted. And man, I wrote up a glowing review of that gal in a little suggestion box and stuck it in there. I'm so thankful for someone who was helpful. She didn't need to do that. I mean, I wouldn't have blamed her if she didn't. I wouldn't have called her a bad employee if she hadn't. But I'm sure thankful that she did. And now when I go back into Costco, I'm going to look for her. Her name's Sophia. And she works back in the cheese department. And I'm going to find her and remind her of the day that she kept me out of hot water at home. What does it mean? What are some principles about being helpful? Let me give you four this morning. Number one, principle number one, you are saved to serve. Now, yeah, I know what you're saying already. Pastor, we're saved to be free from our sins. We're saved to be forgiven. We're saved to have the reconciliation power of God come into our lives so that we will be reunited with our Father and that we'll be with Him forever. Yeah, that's all true. But the most important thing is that faith expresses itself in love. The expression of that redemption, the expression of that reconciliation is to serve. Here's what Jesus did and here's what He taught. John 13. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set an example for you this so that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master. On the night that Jesus was going to be crucified, and how many know when you're at your last moments, you tell the most important truths, right? That's what you do. You don't waste time with peripherals. You want to make sure that you're leaving the important things. And on that night, He washed their feet and He said, I'm doing this as an example. Now you go do it too. We're saved to serve. If there are those that say, well, you know, that's kind of not my thing. I've got other things going on. Listen, if you have a relationship with Christ, you have a mandate to be a servant. There are only a small group of people who can say, I don't have to serve. And those are the same people who say, I'm greater than God. Or there is no God. Because Jesus said, no servant is greater than his master. Nobody in here would have the audacity to say that God is my servant. He's the master. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. We serve him. If the master does it, we do it. Jesus did it, we do it. Amen? He served, so we serve. He got on his knees and washed feet. And we get on our knees now, metaphorically, and wash feet wherever we are. That's what Christians do. We're helpful, and we serve. When I'm looking for people to fill positions of influence in this church, I practice a very simple pattern, the very first of which is, does the person serve? That's the very first thing I look for. If someone comes into the church, they're relatively new, and they say, yeah, Pastor, you know, I was a leader at my former church, and you know, and I have these gifts and these leadership talents. I'd like to lead here too. My red flag shoots up, and it's like 4th of July in my brain. In my mind, I'm thinking, no. Anybody who comes in here and says, I'm a leader, I want to lead, I say, well, show me your leadership by washing feet first. Show me you have the characteristics of Christ before we set you up in a place of influence. I'm so thankful that all of our staff people, all of our leadership people, our core leadership and on, they all serve first. Jesus said this, if you're faithful with a little, you'll be faithful with much. I want to see first if you'll be faithful with the little, if you'll serve, if you'll take the end of the table, not wanting to be at the head of the table. If you're a servant, you'll be a good leader. We're to be helpful. We're saved to serve. I want to make these two statements. A church that does not have, and it does not serve as a theological problem. We really do. And I'm so thankful that our church has an understanding of what it means to serve the world, to serve outside of ourselves. If you're a Christian today and you do not serve, there's a relationship problem. A relationship with Jesus. Because every single Christian, The most important thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. There's a service attitude. And I'm so thankful for our people. So thankful for the leaders that are here. I'll pick on Rick this morning. Rick in the last few months has become much more of a present part of our church Sunday morning. You've noticed that, right? He's up front a lot more. He's you know, he brings an energy. And the guy's 47. He's old. But he doesn't have the energy of a guy that old. He's all over the place, working and running and doing stuff. And Leah, his wife, is right alongside. You know why I was very comfortable with having Rick take a position up front? Because for about 2 years, he served. He stayed late. And helped when most everybody else was gone. He came early and helped. He took some of the jobs that were not noticeable. That's what matters. You know why I love Pastor Sean and Melissa and their leadership? Because for years they served before he ever came on a platform to lead music. And Melissa's, so I'm glad you're here today because you're usually in the back. Most Sundays Melissa's in the back. While we get to worship, taking care of a lot of the children for the parents that get to be in here. Those are the ones that serve, and they understand the principle of having a relationship with God. And I just want to thank you two couples for being such awesome servants. Take that any day. That's principle number one. Principle number two is that you make friends when you serve together. You may ever notice that? If you want to make friends the fastest, serve together. Join a ministry team. Be a part of something that's just you're doing it together. That's what you do. You can make friends so quickly. So if you're a person here saying, well, I'm kind of new to Abundant Life, I don't know a lot of people. Listen, best way to get to know people, join a ministry team. Get involved. And then pretty soon as you work side by side, you start making friends that you never knew you had. Here's what Paul said. This is in Romans 16, where the whole chapter is thanking God for people that he works with. And this is just a couple of verses. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Jesus Christ. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. These people became dear, dear, dear friends of the Apostle Paul amongst a large crowd of people because they just simply said, we want to help you. We want to be on the team. We want to be involved. We want to share what's going on here. Can we help too? And you know, I'm so thankful. In a few weeks, we're going to have a volunteer appreciation banquet. And when we started putting this together, and it's the first time we've done it on this scale, and we're going to do it every year, I think. It's going to be great. And if some of you are saying, what's that mean? I didn't get invited. Well, you have to be at least on a regular serving rotation to get invited to the banquet, because that's what it's for, the volunteer appreciation. And I was so excited. We have an average attendance. Now, in our church, there's about 350 people, including the kids. Got to count the kids. Including the kids. But on a Sunday morning, we're right around a 200 average on a Sunday morning. For the banquet, we have invited 190 people. Is that awesome or what? That's amazing. How great. It's two-thirds or more of our church congregation that is involved in some kind of regular ministry in the church. That's awesome. And it's no wonder that when people come in, they find a warmth and a friendliness in our church family. Now, we're not perfect. We're getting better. But why is that? Because we serve together. We join together and we give together and we go shoulder to shoulder and side by side together. Shared purpose unites people no matter how diverse. I love the fact that we have close to 25 languages spoken in our church. We got a ton of diversity, and I love that. It's indicative of our community. But how do people of such diversity come together in such unity? Because we serve together. It's awesome when that happens. That's how the closeness is developed, by going side by side, helping and giving to one another. Most likely, we wouldn't know this group of people if we didn't have the church. As I look at our differences, there's a few of you that just on a natural affinity, we might have run into each other because of the things we enjoy and the hobbies and things like that. But for the most part, you know, I'm an East Bay guy. I'm from a blue-collar family, from the East Bay, born in Oakland, nothing fancy. I don't know anything about tech. I don't, you know, you talk of your engineer stuff, you lose me in a heartbeat. I'm just a simple R&B funk Oakland guy. That's my roots. What do I have in common with all of you guys? But the love of Jesus Christ and the power of his gospel and the wonder of how he unifies people when we serve together. And I'm so glad, because, I mean, you're it. You're our family. You're our life friends. And God has given us that. The bond between those who serve together is nearly unbreakable. If you've ever served in the military, I've never have. But there is something about that shared suffering, that shared struggle, where men and women who have battled, they literally have been in a position to die for each other. And that bond is unbreakable. There's an opportunity. I haven't had a chance to take it yet, but next year I believe I'm going to take the opportunity that our World War II veterans and Korean veterans are diminishing very, very quickly as they age into their 90s and so on. And there's a group of people that I've been learned about recently, where you can volunteer and you pay your own expenses to be a helper to a veteran. And it's a 3-day trip to Washington, D.C. And they take these men and women to the monuments and they go to Arlington. And since they're mostly in wheelchairs, you help them. And the person who runs the work, it's not a ministry, is a friend. And I said, oh man, I'd love to talk to them and share stories. And he goes, they won't talk to you. They will rarely talk to anybody who hasn't been there. But he says, here's what you do. You get two of them together and you start their conversation and then you just listen. And you'll hear everything you want to hear. Because the bond of shared work, of shared sacrifice, of giving your life to each other is unbreakable. That they're brothers, even though they have never met. That's what happens when you serve together, when you're helpful. Number three, you create a contagious culture when you serve together. Create a contagious culture. In Acts chapter 2, 42, it says this, breaking the kind of the first verse with the last verse. They devoted themselves. They devoted themselves to a lot of things. The apostles' teaching, the breaking the bread in their homes, being together, all these things. They were devoted. And then the Lord added to their number those that were being saved. There was a movement that started as a result of the Holy Spirit's power and the devotion that resulted from that power that became a movement and has changed the world even today. It's still changing the world. How do movements begin? I don't know exactly how they begin. I remember a few years back when there was a real Bay Area movement when in sports, when the Giants winning World Series. There's a movement. It drove me crazy. I'm not a Giants fan, but there was Giants everywhere. I was going insane. But there was a very real, literal movement. It's kind of that way in sports right now with the Warriors. There's a movement. And with the team and success, there becomes this, you know, the bandwagon jumper. But people just want to be in. They want a part of that. Well, God talks a lot about the movement of the Spirit. And I've often wondered why or how that happens. I mean, do we just wait around for God to do the next movement in the Spirit? I'm not so sure that's how it works. If the Bible says in Chronicles, if my people will humble themselves and pray, then I will move on their land. You know, I'm starting to wonder, I'm not so sure it's something we wait around for God to just decide to do a movement, or rather, we go back to Galatians 5, verse 6, and we realize the only thing that matters is faith expressing itself in love, and as the body of Christ begins to do that in mass, the movement begins to happen, and God is amongst that. What if it isn't about waiting around for God to do something, and God is really waiting around for us to do something? He's already told us what to do. Does he need to tell us again? Does he need to fuel us when he's already filled us with the Holy Spirit? And people want a part of that. People want to be a part of something meaningful. Every single one of us does. We don't want to waste our time. I don't. I know you don't. Oh, I'm not doing that. It's just a waste. Our time is valuable. But when it's meaningful, we'll give ourselves to that. What is more meaningful than the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to lost people who need him? People want to be a part of something bigger than themselves. We all do. That's what a movement is. It's beyond us. It's beyond my individuality. The great revivals that we've seen across the world in the history, and some even recently. Some we hear about, some we don't hear about. I'm not sure if you realize this, but in the nation of Iran, there is a Christian revival happening in the nation of Iran. It's true. It's happening right now. Where even though it is a sentencing of death, to convert from Islam to Christianity in the nation of Iran, there are churches springing up. There are people getting baptized. And as one report I heard recently, more than 200 converts were baptized outside the main city. And there are thousands of Christians now worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ in that nation. There's a movement that's happening in that nation. It's true. In Uganda, there's one of the oldest tribes is a tribe of pygmies. Now, that's not make-believe. They're real people that are just little people. But God is moving in that tribe. And there are just thousands of this ancient tribe coming to the Lord Jesus Christ in that nation. Here in the United States, I just read yesterday in North Carolina. North Carolina's had a lot of nasty press in the secular media because they've gone against the tide of having, you know, neutral restrooms for other people than just male and female, and to where sports leagues won't have their championship games there, businesses are not wanting to have satellites there, and so on. In that state, there's a movement, and there's been a surge of revival all across the state. Churches being filled, evangelistic crusades happening, and people are coming to Christ. I've been thinking this lately, that if the state will just hang on and will persevere, God will pour out his Spirit because they remain true to God's word. It's happening. Movements. But I'm certain God is not going to move independently of his people. That he is working in us. And he's given us the statement, if my people. Now, can God move independently? Of course. And he will on his timeline come and redeem. And so he's got his things he's doing. But he works in cooperation with us. And number four, we were sent to serve. We've been sent to serve. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus at the end of that story said, go and do likewise. He told this story to the disciples and to the people that were listening. You know the story of the Good Samaritan, the man that was beaten and robbed, and others passed him by and said, not going to help, not going to help, not going to help. But the Samaritan said, I'm going to help. and he spent his time and he spent his money and he followed up again and he took care of this man. And Jesus said, that's what a Christian does. Because the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. Now, go and do likewise. And right then and there is where we see the fork in the road. Will I go and do likewise, or will I go and do my thing? We choose. You say, well, what if that was the same thing? What if my thing and going and do likewise was the same thing? Now I think we've got it. Go applies to where you're currently involved. Say, oh man, do I got to get my minister's license like Paula? And then I can go and do likewise? No, you don't have to do that. Where you're a teacher, where you're an engineer, where you are a retailer, where you are a tech worker, wherever you are, where you're the boss or you're the employee, it doesn't matter. Go and do likewise. Because there's always people to help. There's always somebody that needs you. There's always somebody that needs the gospel. And I'm certain there's always somebody that could use a helping hand. Where are you currently? Go and do likewise. But also, go implies seeing needs and meeting them. Sometimes we will wait for that need to drop in the middle of our lap when we just need to open our eyes and see. Where are they? Isn't it amazing what you don't see when you're not looking? I got bruises all over my head from things I didn't see because I wasn't looking. Because I'm just moving fast and I don't look all the time before I walk. What if we look with different eyes and looked to see the needs? I guarantee you we'd see needs all day long. We'd see areas that we can reach in and touch all day long. Now, can you touch everything? No, you can't touch everything. But we don't need to, because we're starting here with about 200. So we got 400 hands that can touch some of the areas that maybe you can't touch. Somebody else can get that. But we got to do something. I'm thankful for the people in our church. And I was tempted to start calling out names like I did with Rick and Sean. But there's just too many. There's too many. I'm so thankful for all of you. And what you do. And how you serve. And how you give. How you reach out. It's powerful what God does through you. I've seen people in our church pastor each other in a more effective way than even I could pastor them because they have a relationship and I don't. And Steve, I'll not forget that morning. It was nothing to you to put your arm around Shirley Mustaine. And there was a connection. And I thought in my mind, I don't have that. But he's got that because you pastor those seniors, you and your wife, Rick. So thankful for that. There are people here that can do things better and more richly and more intimately and more powerfully because you've got the relationship. And you can touch people in a way that is in the fiber. That's what happens when we've served and we've learned and we've been equipped. Then we can see the unity of the body develop and we can then attain the full measure of the glory of God. I've seen people in this church buy others' furniture because they had a need. I've seen people in this church organize fundraisers amongst the friends. Not in a weird way, but just, hey man, can you help? Because somebody needed a vehicle. I've seen people put clothes on other people's backs. I've seen people send bags of groceries on a regular basis in this congregation to one another. Go and do likewise. I've seen people carry the burdens when a family couldn't carry it because of job strain. Go and do likewise. When you've had people in the hospital that are sick, I've seen people in this group come over and clean the house and take care of the daily needs. Go and do likewise. I've seen many of you come early and stay late on event days. Go and do likewise. Let's make an impact. And you don't need to be a person of position to make an impact. You just need to be somebody who says, I can help. I'm somebody. If you live by this principle, you will always have friends. You will always have work. And you will always have purpose. Anybody want that? I do. I want to always have friends. I want to always have work. And I want to always have purpose. There's a principle that if you'll live by it, these are guaranteed. And I want it to be Abundant Life's constant motto. And it's real simple. Is there anything I can do for you? Is there anything I can do for you? Isn't that Jesus' motto? Lord Jesus, what do you want me to do for you? I'm blind. Can you touch my eyes? I'm willing. Lord Jesus, what do you want me to do for you? I can't walk. And he laid his hands on them and they walked. Lord Jesus, I'm lost and need a Savior. I can do that for you. Our world is full of people who need somebody to help them, and they just don't know where to turn. And I'm talking about the rich to the poor, the positioned to the anonymous. And the Church of Jesus Christ is well equipped to come alongside and say, I can help. What can I do for you? Let's be those kind of people. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.
Please see our website at www.alagonline.com. That's www.alagonline.com. Or you can call us at area code 408-252-2668. Our address is 10,100 North Selling Road in Cupertino, California.